Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast dedicated to building consistent, stable revenue for solopreneur experts, consultants, coaches, and professionals selling knowledge and creativity. I'm your host, David Schreiner Kahn.
A government job is certainly a, you know, a good, stable thing if that's the kind of life you want to create for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But what kind of held us back early on in those days was just the people that we were surrounded with. You know, when you have people that are in the government job, it, you know, we used to jokingly say, welcome to the post office. This is where dreams come to die.
You can perform meaningful work for maximum value with consistent, stable revenue to support your business and personal needs. Today on episode 411 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Tom Nardone, the millionaire mailman. I'm going to ask Tom how his skills as a mailman helped him work toward his dreams, about the marketing methods that helped him realize his dreams, how you can take your first steps in real estate, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Tom, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. And you can send me your questions directly. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show and learn how you can smash the plateau in your business and in your life. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Reviews really help new people find the show. Now let's welcome Tom Nardone. Tom started working for the post office as a mailman back in the 80s. It didn't take him long to realize that the security entrapment of a good job is not a lot different from a 30-year jail sentence. You feel trapped and your income is limited. Tom started buying houses on his mail routes, and after 25 years of buying and holding and buying and selling, Tom has bought and sold over 250 properties. Tom co-authored the book Secrets of the Real Estate Millionaires and has created and written courses for several real estate information products. Tom has been twice featured on television with two appearances on Good Morning America with Charles Gibson and Joan London, and also CNBC's Power Lunch with Bill Griffith, with radio appearances on The Cash Flow Show and real estate-related podcasts. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on board.
Yes, great to have you here. Tom, how long did it take you to realize that you had developed a system that would help you work towards your goals?
Well, I was lucky that I kind of had a little pressure from my wife who helped me develop that system. We worked together on blue-collar jobs together, and we realized that, wow, all this working activity certainly doesn't have any passive income to it. So we knew to have the kind of lifestyle we really wanted to have for ourselves, we're going to have to do something other than this blue-collar job. So that's when we discovered real estate back in the 80s and jumped in and started utilizing actually our jobs, because we were both mail carriers at the time, to find deals on our mail routes.
So it's interesting that as mail carriers, you realize that in spite of the fact that you had steady income and I would imagine a fair amount of job security, that spending several decades in your jobs was not going to help you realize the dreams that you had for your lives.
Absolutely. A government job is certainly a good, stable thing if that's the kind of life you want to create for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But what kind of held us back early on in those days was just the people that we were surrounded with. You know, when you have people that are in the government job, it, you know, we used to jokingly say, welcome to the post office. This is where dreams come to die. And when you're surrounded with a lot of government employees who just don't really have any entrepreneurship, we realized quickly we had to reach outside of that community to network with entrepreneurs and people who thought like the type of people we wanted to eventually become.
Right. So lesson number one is you got to surround yourself with like-minded people.
Absolutely.
And how did you stumble upon real estate as the vehicle or the method to help you work towards your dreams?
Well, we actually live now in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, around Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton. So we live in a very nice tropical area. And Florida being what it is, back in the 80s, we had a lot of these guys that would kind of blow through town, go through Fort Lauderdale, go through Orlando, doing these no money down seminars. So we thought back in those days, like, maybe there's something to this. Let's attend a few of those. And I was lucky that I actually connected with a couple mentors that were Florida based. And those people were real guys. They weren't just like information marketers just trying to sell you a program. And those mentors I had early on, they kind of took me under their wing. They showed me the ropes of the business and they helped me to realize, like, hey, you and your wife, you guys are mailmen. So all day long, you walk around or you drive around, you see houses. So you would kind of get to see the foreclosures and stuff before anybody else got to notice them. So that helped us in a huge way to launch into a career that we're actually getting paid during the day to be out there walking around. But at the same time, we're scouting for houses and foreclosures that we could buy.
Right. So the next lesson is connect with mentors. They can really help you fast track your activity to help you do a better job working towards your goals.
Exactly.
That's great. So now let's fast forward and let's talk about some of the things that you've accomplished and you've learned over several decades of working in the real estate industry.
Sure.
So are there particular methods that you find work really well to help you achieve the kind of lifestyle that you and your wife wanted?
Yes. And I would say those methods, probably the first and foremost, most important method right on the front end of everything is your marketing. So due to the fact that I came from the post office, I understand mail. At least at the time, I understood the mechanics of how it gets to the customer. I guess not too much to figure out there, but I knew the inner workings of the post office, and I would see mailings, big direct mailings that people would do on a national basis and a local basis. And we realized early on that, wow, we can target certain prospective sellers with a message and send them a letter or a postcard. And that's actually almost the same way we started 30 years ago is still how we succeed today, is with our marketing and using direct mail.
Okay, so let's talk about that method. Is there something specific about direct mail that has worked then and still works now that may be different than other kinds of marketing?
Well, it's certainly different in the fact that it's very physical. You know, like the mail's always been, when you get a postcard or something in the mail or a letter, you know, you open it or you sift it over the garbage can as you throw away what you think is junk mail and you pull out the first class. So we send out first class yellow letters to sellers that when it arrives in a handwritten envelope with actual handwriting with a live stamp on it, it looks kind of like a letter from grandma. So when somebody gets a mailing piece like that, it gets a lot of attention because it looks very personalized. And if you contrast that to what most people's email inboxes look like, we all know that that's just noise after a while. And emails very often get overlooked or deleted and never even opened. But when you send somebody a letter that's physically in paper, and maybe instead of putting it inside of a number 10 size envelope, you would put it inside like a party invitation size envelope. Kind of looks like you're being invited to a party or something. So that gets a very high open rate, much better than email, rather.
Right. Okay. So you, based on your own knowledge of postal mail, you were able to tell what could really stand out and what could work better than other kinds of postal mail.
Correct. And I think when you select a very targeted audience to send your message to, in this day and age of computers, we have very smart and intelligent mailing lists, unlike we did even just 10 years ago. I don't know if any of your listening audiences realizes this, but if you buy a mailing list today, you can add a lot of different filters to that mailing list. It's not just the name of an individual with their home address. It actually knows how much mortgage they have on their property. So if I wanted to target homes that had, say, 50% or greater in equity, I could do that with a click of a mouse. If I wanted to target potential homeowners that are 50 years old and older, I could do that with a click of a mouse. I know the value range of their home. If I wanted to look at homes that were, say, zero to 300,000, and that was my sweet spot, we know how many years that they've owned the home for. Because obviously, if you're sending out mail, you don't want to send a letter saying, I'll buy your house quick and for cash if they just bought it 3 months ago, because they'd read your mailing piece and say, well, I just got here. I don't want to move. I don't want to sell. So we typically go back 7 years in ownership, and we mail to people that have owned their home for 7 years. So those are kind of some of the filters we use. But in our marketing, the lists of today are very smart when you get a mailing list.
All right. So that's great to know that marketing can be so targeted, particularly with postal mail, because we know that there are online marketing tools that can be very targeted, like Facebook ads and methods like that. Let's talk a little bit about the actual business model itself and how to figure out where your sweet spot is if real estate investing is something that one wants to pursue. And in particular, for people who are solopreneur experts, consultants, coaches, any professional selling a service based on deep expertise, one of the biggest challenges is trying to develop consistent, stable revenue. And people may be interested in exploring a revenue source that is different than their core business as a way to either supplement existing revenue or perhaps to help cover some of the operating costs of their business and support their lifestyle. So for somebody who fits that kind of profile, who has never done any kind of real estate investing, where do you suggest he or she start?
Great question. I would suggest that they start by buying and selling first, by doing that simple activity. And that kind of forks off into two different areas. One of those areas is wholesaling, where you're just going to find a house that you could buy below the market and then just assign that contract to another person that's going to actually fix it up for a fee. And this way, you don't have really any capital tied up in it. All you have is your marketing costs to find the deal. So you're just in and out, get a check often within days or weeks. Now, fixing and flipping, on the other hand, there's larger profit margins in doing that. But of course, it's more of an involved activity. And, you know, anybody that's certainly watched HGTV and all the, you know, the house flipping shows that tend to be the rave of the network these days, they're probably familiar with how that process works. You find a house way below the market, calculate what your repair costs are, and then sell it at full market value when it's complete. And my business right now, it consists of doing both of those activities, the wholesaling, as well as the fixing and flipping. But every now and then, we'll come across a property that we know it's in a high rent area and it's a low cost house. And we'll look at the property and we'll say, you know, this one makes more sense as a buy and hold house and put this in our keeper portfolio. And we've been doing that over the last, well, I've been in the business now for 30 years. So we've accumulated about a dozen properties that now at this point, you know, no real magic here. They're just long-term investments. Eventually, the mortgages pay off. Or to accelerate that process, we take some of the profits we make from the fix and flips, and we pay off the mortgages on the other keeper houses. And that's how you get your monthly reoccurring income to come in on a regular basis.
Right. So for somebody just getting started, how much time do you think they need to invest in this process for it to work?
I think if you could put in, I would say about 6 hours a week to get started in wholesaling, and more if you can, you know, if you can give it. It depends on the area that you're in. too, because, you know, obviously the country as a whole right now tends to be doing good in the real estate market. But I sort of like to say there are no national markets. There's really only local markets. So you're in Manhattan. I grew up in Jersey. Just by crossing the Hudson, there's, you know, Jersey is a great opportunity to stay right now because their tax bills are so high. There's a lot of foreclosures. There's a lot of distress in the market. So you can pick up houses there below the market. But right in Manhattan, you know, it's a tight game. Everybody wants to live there. But the beauty of, you know, the tools we have today online allows you to go to other markets and work virtually. What I mean, you could actually work a Florida market where I am now if you wanted to from New York. It's possible.
Well, so let's talk about that. So if somebody is in a place where the local market is not so conducive to starting out, how would you suggest somebody work a non-local market?
I would suggest first doing a little market research, figuring out where you are at. If you're in the big city, chances are most big cities like New York, like Chicago, like Phoenix, like Miami, Los Angeles, those places are red hot. And you want to kind of go to the fringe areas where there's smaller towns. In fact, I'll tell you, living in the, you know, Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami area now, yesterday I was at a 2-hour drive on the West Coast, a little sleepy town called Port Charlotte. And, we're picking up a house there. We're closing on it next week. And, I'll drive anywhere as far as Orlando, even though Orlando has become a big city. There's a lot of little hick towns on the outskirts that there's a lot of opportunity and less competition. So to pick your market, I think it helps to do some research. Just demographically, looking at maybe the price ranges of the homes. If you could try to keep it under $250,000 in this day and age, that's still an affordable price range that most end users can still afford to buy in at. So if your house prices are just crazy, like, you know, $500,000 to $1 million, I would say move away from that market to get started. You could come back to that market when you get more experience, but you want to start with the smaller, more affordable houses that are faster and easier to sell.
Right. Yeah, Tom, what have you found is most challenging when it comes to developing recurring revenue?
Well, the most challenging is you can do everything right and you can still go through a real estate crash like we did, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And I'll tell you, when I went into that crash, we had about 36 or 37 properties that we were managing. And then when the market values in Florida, for instance, being a hardest hit area, we had corrections as much as 75% of the value just disappearing like within a short year or two. So I'd say understanding what your goals are and being careful with debt. You know, you want to be really selective about debt. Don't pay too much in interest. If you could buy long-term keepers, you know, interest rates today are just a fraction of what they were. Gosh, when my wife and I got married in 1983, our primary home we lived in, our first home we ever owned, our interest rate was 18%. And that was the best you can get at that time. So, you know, we're at a time now where you can buy rental properties or investment properties with, you know, 5% or less interest rates. It's just actually a good time to be doing that.
Tom, I wondered if you could share an example of somebody who has, or maybe a story, someone who has had a single person business and started investing in real estate on the side.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine. His name is Chuck Davis, and he had a health food store. And health food store, although right now we see quite a surge in, you know, the big name stores like Whole Foods and, you know, people buying organic products as opposed to processed foods. We're seeing that happen all the time. But my friend with the retail store, 10 years ago, he realized, wow, a lot of the retail business is going online. He would have people walk into his retail store and say, how much for this jar of vitamins? And he'd say $25. And they'd basically say to him, I can get that for $15 online. And a lot of times they'd walk out empty handed and they'd just do that. They'd buy it online. I think we're all appreciative of Amazon and all the websites that have popped up where we can get stuff in 2 days and buy it far less than anywhere else. So he realized, wow, my business is shrinking. I better do something else. I better transition or diversify over to something that has more residual income. So he knew what I was doing. We were neighbors who lived a couple blocks away, and I used to buy products at his health food store. That's how I found out about him. And he said, you mind if I come out to a couple of houses you're remodeling? And I said, yeah, come on out there. And by the way, I don't actually bang the nails. I have a crew that does the work. But he came out there and he looked and goes, wow, I think I could do this. He goes, would you help me? And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. And he eventually, it took him about 2 years to get going, but he eventually closed down the health food store and just, you know, changed coats all overnight, it seemed, and went into the rental property business and doing fix and flips. And now he owns about 25 houses and he has a great recurring income. And he's very, very thankful that he made the switch.
It's a great example. Tom, how long would you say is typical for people that are doing what he just did? How long would you say is typical for people to be able to achieve their recurring income objectives?
I think if you have a mentor getting started, because that's what I had in helping myself get started. I had the local mentors that knew the Florida market, and I was in a different town than they were, so I was no direct competition to them, and they gave me a lot of market intelligence about getting started where I am here. So I would say, it like my friend Chuck and like myself, when I was getting started, I set a simple goal to buy like one house every 3 months, and it took me about 2 years to get ramped up, but it didn't take me long to get to my first deal. You know, if you have somebody who could point you in the right direction and show you exactly what to look for, then it's going to shortcut the learning process a lot.
And how do you typically work with new people?
Well, what I typically do is the coaching I offer my current students. And right now I actually work with about 30 coaching students, actually. And the way it works is it's one hand washes the other. I don't put them in necessarily a group setting. I actually give them one-on-one mentoring where they have an hour with me about every 2 weeks on the phone. And I give them specific action steps. And you know, you got to be careful with what education programs you sign up with, because I like to say from time to time that this is not about education. I don't want to bog you down with a bunch of videos and stuff. This is more about instruction. I'm just going to tell you what I want you to do, and I want you to go out and do it. So I break it down into bite steps on a very personal basis. So like I said, it's one-on-one mentoring, and you're right away, you're off and you're going, and you're doing the action steps that are needed to be taken to get to your first deal.
Do you have a free gift for our audience?
Yes, I actually wrote a book. It's you know, if you've always wondered how to get started flipping houses but just didn't know how or where to start, I wrote an ebook just specifically for you, which is how to make $10,000 in the next 90 days flipping houses, even if you've never flipped a house before. And the way they can get that is it's very simple. If you just text the word mailman to 31996. It's called a short text code. Just text the word mailman to 31996. Immediately, you'll get a text back that'll ask you, you know, for your email address, and it'll send you the ebook.
Sounds great. Thank you for that. And what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What are you planning?
I'm planning on kicking this up a notch and doing more transactions in my Roth IRA and in a 401k. Because all those things that I just mentioned to you about, you know, flipping houses and doing the wholesaling and the buy and holds, this is maybe a conversation for another day. But if you use the 401k process or a Roth IRA structure to do that within, you can actually do it tax-free. So these are programs that are out there. A lot of people don't realize that those self-directed programs pertain to real estate investments. So you can do them tax-free in those vehicles.
Sounds great. And Tom, for listeners that we may want to learn more about you and get in touch with you, what's the best way to learn about you and get in touch?
Sure. They could visit my website. It's simply millionairemailman.com. And once they get the free ebook, which they can text the word mailman to 31996, then they'll basically be in my database and they'll get emails from me. But my main website is millionairemailman.com.
Sounds great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion.
Thank you, David, for having me on the show.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today we discussed how the skills of a mailman can launch a real estate business, ways to market to your target audience that may be overlooked, and how you can take your first steps in a side business like real estate. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. If you have any comments, suggestions, or feedback on what I'm doing here at Smashing the Plateau, you can email me directly. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Reviews really help new people find the show. Help me help you smash the plateau. Thanks again for joining me. I'll see you on our next episode.